We are changing it up a bit. I'm going to be reading from Luke this morning, so please remain standing as able. Reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the others? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thank you for your flexibility in doing all of this. Marianne, I want to slide you over there. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, wherever we're worshiping this morning, whether it's in the sanctuary, online, you're sitting in your kitchen, you're sitting in your living room, you're still propped up in bed with a cup of coffee, may it be suitable and acceptable to you, our Lord. Amen. Well, this is one of my favorite pieces of scripture, although I think almost everything I read I say it's one of my favorite pieces of scripture. The title of my sermon today is, Do we forget to say thank you? So, traveling along the border between Galilee and Samaria, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And he came to this village, and standing outside the village were 10 very, very sick men. And they came out to meet Jesus. Yeah. They were lepers. They were afflicted with the absolute worst disease imaginable in Jesus' day. Because you see, leprosy was incurable. It was disgusting. It was revolting. Leprosy was considered proof that you were the vilest kind of sinner. Because that would be the only reason that you would have leprosy is if you sinned. God was really punishing you for something that was really, really bad. If you had leprosy, you actually watched your body rot away. Your fingers, your ears, your nose, they just disappeared. You died a slow and painful death. Cut off from society, cut off from your family. And the only friendships that you had were others who were like you. There were 9 others in this case that kept reminding you as you looked at them how really bad you really were. 10 lepers. 10 dying, decaying, stinking wretches of humanity met Jesus at the gate. And they cried, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." They must have known that this was their only chance to escape the awful consequences of their disease. If Jesus did nothing for them, surely their lives would end in a slow and painful death. "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." Can you just imagine with me the air filled with tension as those 10 lepers, as 10 lives hung on the words or actions of this man from Galilee. Jesus, Master, show us mercy. Jesus didn't touch them. Jesus, Master, show us mercy. He didn't wash them. Jesus, Master, show us mercy. He didn't even pray for them. But finally, after what seemed to be an eternity for these desperate men, Jesus spoke. And all he said was, go, show yourselves to the priests. In other words, Jesus was saying, go to the priest because he'll give you a certificate of healing and cleansing. They weren't healthy, but they were to go and get a health certificate to proclaim that they were healed. Basically, Jesus said, go get a physical exam. Get checked out. Now, can you imagine their situation? They must have stood there looking at themselves, looking at each other. And then they started to debate, probably, because we would have, I would have. We've already been to the priest, and they couldn't do anything for us. You gotta be kidding. You're gonna send me? You, the great healer, are gonna send me to the temple where we'll be rejected? Jesus' words hung in the air. Go show yourselves to the priest. They had surely expected something more, something else, a touch, a prayer, a washing, something. Something of their desperation and their groaning. But they doubted. Their doubting faith and confidence still led these men to say, well, if he tells us to do that, we're going to do it. So they turn, and they begin walking towards the temple, walking towards the priests. Because you see, there's something about this man from Galilee. Something that made them obey. To go and do exactly what this man had told them to do. Go and do exactly what they'd done before. But it was different this time. Because this time it was Jesus. And then it happened. At some point, at some instance, you can imagine, quite by surprise, those 10 lepers began to change. Every diseased cell in their bodies were changed. Every cell suddenly sprung into action and sprung into full health as never before seen. A force of events which began in a twinkle of an eye, in a flash of excitement, as one of the 10 noticed his body became healthy again. We don't know who the first one was to notice, but we know it happened with tremendous swiftness. The reaction had to have spread through the group. In amazement, they probably stopped and they began looking at each other and looking at their own hands, and suddenly their feet, their ears, their nose, everything began to be as it was before they got leprosy. Jesus had done it again. His reputation was true. 10 suffering human beings had been touched by the Son of God. 10 suffering men had encountered the touch of a loving, living God. 10 suffering men had been touched by the creating hand of God that was still very much at work in their world. Can you just imagine them bounding down the road to the priest? They were probably running and leaping and dancing and wondering how the priest would react because he knew these guys. They were anticipating the glee and the excitement of their families as they would return home healthy and alive with a health certificate, proclaiming to all what had happened. All 10 men caught up in the joy and the excitement of the moment. But one of them stops. He stops in his tracks. I can imagine a smile coming to his face. And now suddenly he turns and he begins to walk back towards Jesus. He takes a couple steps and then he probably begins to run, going back to the master, back to this man of Galilee, back to the one who touched him with a mysterious force. He comes back, shouting and laughing and proclaiming glory to God with a joyful and thankful heart. He runs back to Jesus and he falls at his feet. And he gives the Son of God thanks for the great healing that has been done. Only one of the 10 who were touched by the love of this man had seen beyond the miracle of healing that they received. They saw beyond that to the one who had dared to ask and to risk for him. He saw Jesus for who he was. The one who cared, the one who loved, the one who wanted a relationship with everyone on the face of the earth. He saw the Son of God as a man of love, a builder of relationships. He saw the miracle as Jesus' way of building a bridge between the fallen creation and the brokenness of disease and the loving hand of God. The loving hand of God who wants to reach into that brokenness of the world with his creating and redeeming power. He saw Jesus. And then Jesus responds, "Weren't there 10 of you that were cleansed? What happened to the other 9? Only one of you has come back to give thanks. Only one out of 10. Why weren't there 10? By dwelling on the fact that only one in 10 came back, Jesus is telling us, you and I, very plainly, he wanted to be thanked. He wanted them to see, and this is the key point, he wanted them to see beyond the miracle of the healing. He wanted them to see the healer. That's right, Wesley. He wanted them to see the miracle worker. He wanted them to come back and be in relationship with him. What's that ratio for us today? Is it the same? 1 in 10? Probably pretty close. But there's probably reasons why these 9 guys wandered around in gratitude. Perhaps one reason they walked away without thanking Jesus was they suffered from a lack of sensitivity and imagination. They never stopped and reflected on what had happened. They didn't think about who or how their healing happened. They just took it for granted. They just took Jesus for granted. They were healed. That's all they cared about. Their lives would go on now. And they had a lot of catching up to do with their families and their friends. Because you see, they couldn't see beyond the gift of the miracle. Amen. They couldn't see beyond that to the one who had given it to them. Because you see, they never saw the giver. My friends, do we see the giver? Can we see beyond the gifts and the blessings and the love and the touch of grace in our lives? To see beyond that, to see Jesus? Do we see the Son of God as we experience Jesus' touch in our lives? Maybe another reason that only 10 of them returned to the healer is the fact that the other 9 lacked any humility whatsoever. They saw in this act of healing something that was owed to them. They figured they were due this healing. Because you see, human beings can develop such an inflated sense of their own importance that we take everything that is good that comes our way as if it's owed to us. We tend to take for granted as our due all of these things that have worked, that we feel like we've worked so hard for. We take it for granted. We say we've paid our dues. Now we get to reap the rewards. And as we tend to take things for granted, as we tend to look only to ourselves as the foundation for living, we become more and more possessive of what we have. We become more and more greedy, more and more wanting. We only want the best. We only want the biggest. We want what's due us. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, there is a great gain in godliness with contentment. When a person views the world as owing them everything, then contentment is never achieved. Because in our contentment with the great gifts God has granted us, we can't see beyond the gifts to the giver. But if we always focus on the gifts, we're lost. Yep. If we never look beyond our selfishness for more, if we can't see beyond the need for the best, then contentment with life will never, ever be achieved. I think that's the world we live in. We are never content anymore. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be better. It's got to be faster. It's got to be more wondrous. Those 10 lepers got it all. A new life, a clean bill of health. They got to return back to their family and their friends. But only one could see the greatness. Only one could see the magnitude of the gift. Only one could see the blessing. Friends, we are all blessed by God in different ways, at different times with different blessings. But Christ asks us to look beyond those blessings, beyond our own need of the things that we get, to the giver. To be humble and accept with a grateful heart what we have. And in that attitude, a peace, a contentment about living will come to us. We will see our blessings, our talents, our resources coming from God. And then God will do amazing things in our life. God will continue to bless us. And usually more and more and more. He will lead us in ways that we never would have dared think that we could go. Ways that we can risk for ourselves and others that will bring a contentment in our life. And bring Jesus into the lives of others. Because you see, when God blesses us, there's a double blessing. The one leper was doubly blessed. His body was made whole. He was restored. But he saw the healing that he had and attributed it to the healer. And it became for the church a symbol of the church's outreach to the entire world. Think of that. The healing of the 10 lepers and the thankfulness of the one showed the world what the kingdom of God would be like. God would liberate us from the power of evil. And in that liberation, my friends, we have a freedom to live our life. To have a sense of joy in our relationship with a loving God. And an adventuresome attitude about our lives that lets us dare to risk. That dares us to reach out because we know that God and I are walking through this life together. With God's blessing and our willingness to surrender, this is the deal, this is where we get caught, to surrender ourselves and our selfishness and our pride to be able to live in God's grace and peace. Because you see, life can be so exciting and fulfilling, and give us this creative adventure of how life can be. I want to tell you, close with a story about two grasshoppers. I think I've told this story before, maybe. Two grasshoppers fell into a bowl of cream. One of them complained and moaned and groaned over his plight, and he sank to the bottom of the cream, and he died. The other one kept singing and cheerfully kicked his feet until the cream turned to butter, and he hopped away to freedom. My friends, life can be that way. A Swedish proverb says, those who wish to sing can always find a song. My friends, may God and you and I walk through this life kicking and singing, not kicking and screaming, kicking and singing, and looking beyond these blessings to the one who can only fill our hearts. The one who gives us those blessings. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, thank you for this day. Help us to look beyond our blessings. And yes, to be thankful and to give you gratitude. To know that all that we have, all that we've ever had, and all that we ever will have comes from you. Lord, help us to open our hearts to the blessings that you pour out upon us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. You're welcome. All right. Toodles.
And thank you for loving us.